Ciao ragazzi, it's Carmen here alongside Serena from the Napoli Club of Toronto, and welcome to the Feeding the Vesuvio podcast, a show where we talk about all things Napoli, our club, Serie A, and culture in general. So let's sit back, relax, and talk about that. I think my dad might be coming, but I'm not too sure yet. Gotta figure that out.
Yeah, if he wants to come, yeah, we'll hang out. Yeah, that's no problems.
That's gonna be fun. Yeah. It should be fun. By the way, I started recording right when we started talking, so we're on live. What's up, buddy?
What's up, man?
Not too bad. Just finished watching the Pens game. What a disappointment that was.
Well, you know, gonna be. I'm gearing up to be disappointed myself in about.
I think the Leafs take it tonight. They're gonna take it to five. I think so.
Yeah. You know, knowing them, yeah, they'll probably like destroy them today and then just end up losing in game five.
I don't know, man. I think the Leafs can really put a press on them. I don't know. That's just me, though. I think
the Leafs can win a series, this team, how they perform. I mean, look, yeah, they've played better than them overall the whole series.
Yeah.
But you see when it gets tough, when the game gets tough, when they're trying to come back, the team folds. Like, that's just all the time.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like I said, I'm not a Leafs fan, so I don't really pay attention to the Leafs much, but I do watch them. They have the skill. They definitely have the skill, and they have the team. The Leafs remind me of Napoli in so many ways. It's unbelievable. They have the skill, and they have the team to do well, yet they can't. It doesn't make sense to me. How the Leafs can't make it past the first round.
Well, the Leafs are okay, it's funny. We're like Napoli in the league in a sense, but like we make Juventus money.
That's true. So, yeah.
We're the Juve of the league since we pretty much like, you know, are one of the top revenue earners, if not the top revenue or earner.
Yeah.
The league. And you know, we suck. We get favorable calls. Actually, the league has made a point to kind of like bring the Leafs 2-3 steps back in terms of like their off ice like facilities and stuff. Like their prospects aren't allowed to use their facilities because other teams don't do that for their prospects. So it's like we get no preferential treatment basically. So. Yeah, so it's like the Napoli in ways, and then it's like Juve ways, but in all the bad ways, basically. That's what it's like to be the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Well, let's just hope that at least the Leafs can make it out and finally win a series.
Series. I have not seen them. This isn't even technically. Well, this is technically playoffs, but it's not even like the real playoffs.
No, it's a seeding for playoffs, right?
Seeding, but they're calling it playoff, but it's not like technically the first round, like 16 teams would be next round. So
yeah,
they can't even win a series. Like.
They're cursed. So. They're cursed by a first round, and I can't believe that yesterday they. Is that you or is that me?
That's me. I'm on my Mac. I don't log into it all the time. So like
yeah,
when you log in, it like it plays on your notifications. Like,
yeah, I know. Is there a way to? Can you put that on like what's it called? A do not disturb mode because it's interfering with the podcast as well.
I don't know how to.
It's okay. We'll just work our way around it then. Never mind.
Yeah, I'm not that popular. It's just old messages. I think it's catching up now. Well, let me see if I can figure that out.
It's okay. It won't be that much of a bother. So let's get right into the first thing I wanted to talk about, and that was the Lazio match. And one thing I really wanted to note about that match was how much better it was, like watching two different teams.
Oh yeah,
from the last couple matches that we watched to the Lazio match. Granted, I believe that the way they came out for that match was a prep for what's going to happen tomorrow. They came out with, I think, the squad they're going to field against Barcelona. Maybe a couple of switches that I probably would make, but I don't know if Reno's going to make.
I think the lineup that we saw against Lazio is going to be pretty close to what we see.
I think so too. But I think there's a couple of changes that we can make, notably on the right wing, that can cause Barca some problems. Because, like, okay, I'm going to go through the Lazio match for a little bit here, and then I'm going to see how this ties in with the Barca match. So with the Lazio match, first of all, high-intensity football. They played high up the pitch. It wasn't really a pressing game, but it was kind of like it was a mix between like a zonal press where they either dropped back or when they saw fit, Napoli would press forward and cause Lazio to push the play back. But they did it almost as a unit, like a 4-5-1 defensively. And it really gave Lazio a lot of trouble to move around and to make crisp, accurate passes. Now, that is ideally how we should be playing against Barca, notably because of the fact that, first of all, Barca is going through problems. And secondly, Barca doesn't have the two major midfielders. I think three, maybe two. They don't have the major midfielders that they want to play, which is Busquets, Vidal, and possibly De Jong. Mm. Right? So Barca likes to play with Vidal making more direct runs, pushing the defense back a little bit, and having De Jong drop back and basically create more space for De Jong and Busquets to play in front of the ball, a defense, so the balls can go in behind. But without that, and without those three major players, and with a high press that Napoli is going to be most likely going to be playing,
I think they're going to play a high press, Napoli.
The thing is, they could play a high press in the opposition half. Like, when Barcelona has the ball in their half, I think Napoli should be able to play a high press because of the fact that they like playing possession, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're forcing them to make passes now in their own half, that's going to cause them a lot of problems, especially, like I said, because of the fact that they don't have their three major midfielders on the pitch that they like to play with. It's going to cause a lot of problems for them. And here's where I wanted to say a couple of changes. Obviously, the way Mertens played against Lazio in that last game, I don't remember if you remember from the first podcast where I was talking about Milik in the final third.
Yeah.
Where he was static. He didn't move. And it was very easy for the defense to work around him and to cover him. Mertens didn't allow Lazio to do that. He was always either dropping in behind or drifting wide, pulling the defense apart. And that causes problems on top of, obviously, Napoli's play in the midfield, which is already, I think, phenomenal.
Yeah, right? They had a really good game in the mid. Well, they got some really good midfielders. So.
Exactly. So,
finish what you're going to say before I start.
No, I'm saying using that, right, with a high press in their half, I think Napoli can cause a lot of problems for Barcelona. And I'm going to be confident in saying this. It might bite me in the ass tomorrow, but we're going to win. That's what I think. We're going to win.
Okay. I hope you make some really good points. I agree with what you're saying, but I feel like Napoli is going to play like how they were playing those first few games in the Coppa Italia. Like, I think that's what you're going to see. You're going to see a park the bus, like a catenaccio. Like, I think that's how Napoli's going to approach the game tomorrow.
Like a drop back, 4-5-1 drop back, low box.
Yeah, they're going to invite, you know, keep the ball, whatever, and then they're going to try to get them on a counterattack.
Yeah.
That's how I think.
I agree with you with that as well, but I was saying, like, in their half. Obviously, in our half, I think that's the way we have to play as well. Because we're gonna get burnt by the front three if we press that high.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, honestly, if I had to make any predictions for tomorrow, which it depends on what team takes the field in terms of Napoli. Sometimes Napoli, you know, comes out and, you know, can dominate, and then sometimes they come out and they look the field in their asses. Mm-hmm. But if, you know, if I had money to put on, I would say either we tie 2-2,
okay,
or we tie 1-1 and we win on penalties, or it goes to penalties and whatever happens. I think it's going to be a tie.
Okay.
because I don't think you know, I saw some people saying, you know, 1-0, 2-0. Barcelona's gonna score. Like, you're not gonna, they're gonna score. Let's just be honest here.
It's fair.
So you gotta score at least a goal and make them score only one goal, or, you know, ideally for Napoli to win, they gotta score 2 goals tomorrow. So I'm thinking, you know, 2-2, 2-1 would be amazing, but I think it, honestly, if I had to put money on one scoreline, I think it's gonna be 1-1 and it's gonna go to penalties.
See, like, I'm saying that I don't, okay, it's gonna be sounding a little bit optimistic, but if Napoli really plays well defensively, I don't think they're gonna concede. But that's that. Now this is like, they have to be on their game.
Yeah, and, but
like, no defensive laps.
You think then center back? You think they're gonna put Manolas Kulibaly center back?
I think I remember I talked to you a couple days ago about this, and I said yes, but I'm starting to second guess myself. I think it's gonna be Maxi Kulibaly with Ospina in net. Which, yeah, makes sense.
That's been their best kind of combination, but you know, I know Manolas has been talking, you know, big the last few days, so maybe that sways Gattuso towards, like, you know what, I'm gonna put my you know,
two best
and see, you know, let them figure it out, like, let them show their worth, basically.
Mm-hmm. Like, to me,
Manolas has played this game before, basically, so
that's true. Manolas does have the experience, but to me, it's because he's coming off an injury. It's kind of risky to play him in such an important game. But if he does feel good and Gattuso sees him fit, I don't see why not. See, for me, the defensive pair, whichever way you cut it, it's gonna, I think it's a good pair, right?
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter which way you cut it. I think the defense is going to do well. The thing that I changed my mind on the most was the goalie. I said Meret should be the starter tomorrow, but looking back on Barca's games and how they press in the offensive half,
you need someone who can
handle the ball, because they tend to press very high and press the center backs a lot, right? So if you play Ospina and Net, it doesn't matter what the center backs are. Let's say for now, Manolas Kulibaly. Mm-hmm. Right back. That's a good question. Who would be right back?
Di Lorenzo,
yeah, okay, D'Lo right back. I'd probably put.
I was saying that which might happen, might not happen, is playing with three center backs, with Maksimović,
okay, well, left back.
But I mean, like, Maksimović playing left back. You're not gonna switch them back against Barcelona, but I mean, like, having, like, because Maksimović has done it before. He's played on the wing before in those mm-hmm. games where, you know, we have to shut down a Neymar or like a Messi or like mm-hmm. a Ronaldo. They put Maksimović in that position in the Champions League, and he's done well.
That's actually not a bad idea. Because thinking about it, Messi's going to be playing on that side, right? And yeah. Messi likes dropping back behind, right?
You want Messi to try to dribble? You want Messi to try to dribble through Maksimović or
Mario Rui? Yeah, I'd much rather have Maksimović.
Yeah, but I mean, also you got to keep in mind we got to score goals. Like, that's, we can't just, you know, if we go 0-0, we lose, right?
Yeah, like, exactly.
You got to score. So, I don't know. It's going to be hopefully a chess match. We'll see. Like, I don't want to, mm-hmm. Well, it's in our favor. I don't want, like, such an open game. But yeah, honestly, I see if Napoli's going to win tomorrow, it's going to be like I said, they're going to play very defensive. They have to play very defensive. Barca's going to come out, you know, probably guns a-blazing. So
mm-hmm.
try to survive the first 15, 20 minutes and then, you know, go from there, basically. Because, you know, the push is going to come right at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, exactly. See, like, the way I think of it is that because Barca's going to be – what's the best way to put this? They're not in the right mindset right now. And they're basically – almost crippled in the midfield. I forgot about Artur, by the way. Artur is not playing either. So that's another midfielder they don't have available to them.
They're down, but they have Messi. They have the best player in the world.
They do. They have Messi. And plus, they also have a couple other, like Ansu Fati. You got to keep an eye on at him. Defensively, they have Junior Firpo, who
Suarez is back too, I think.
Is Suarez back? I don't know about Suarez. I haven't seen anything on him yet.
I don't know. They have superstars, man. Can you do
exactly? Yeah, they have some of the best players in the world playing for them, and the best player in the world, in my opinion, playing for them. So you really have to account for every single piece of this match. You have to account for every single position all the time for 90 minutes. It is an uphill battle, but I think with Reno at the helm and doing the proper homework, I think Napoli can pull it off. I really do think that.
Really good at that in these cup ties, I must say, that gives me some confidence. Mm-hmm. Also, all of the pressure is on Barcelona right now. Barcelona has fucked up in the Champions League a lot.
Exactly. So
they've flunked out the first round a few times, so they have all the pressure on them. That's why when I say, if you could survive the first 20, 25 minutes, don't concede, they're going to start feeling the pressure. They're going to feel the pressure. You want the pressure on them. You don't want the pressure on you. Mm-hmm. You want to play a game. You just want to be loose and play a hard game.
Exactly.
No fear, basically.
At the end of the day, it's our game to lose. It really is when you start to think about it. It's our game to lose because I think almost anything as of right now is pushing into our favor. Like I said, if we go into this game right, if the matchups are right, if the homework is done correctly.
Well, they've had months. We've had months.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
To be ready for this game. And, the last month of Serie A looks like they've been checked out. So I really, really hope that they show up to this game from the first minute. And at least if you go out, playing hard for 90 minutes, playing your best for 90 minutes. If you go out and you played your best for 90 minutes, I'm not mad. But if we go out and we play like sheep and just shit the bed, then I'll be pissed off. So basically, you'll know from the first couple of minutes if Napoli's there to play or if they're, if you're going to see, the Napoli of the last few months. So I'm hoping for the first rather than the latter.
But you know what? Napoli, that's another thing, though. Napoli usually starts out really slow. They kind of do it almost like a boxing match, It's like the first couple of rounds, they feel you out. They'll maybe land a couple punches, a couple jabs, move around, and see what you're all about. And that's really risky, in my opinion, if you're doing that, especially against Barcelona.
Yeah, no, they'll make you pay.
They'll make you pay immediately.
The last few games that I've been watching of Napoli, in the first 10, 15 minutes, we've been getting tons of chances.
Yeah.
We've been really creating a lot. So, have to see. Obviously, Barcelona's not just a normal – Barcelona's not Lazio, So, it's going to be different. But hopefully – and mind you, having no fans is, I think, works to our advantage as well. So, they don't have their 105,000 people behind them, right?
Yeah.
So I think that works to our advantage. And, you saw it today with Juve, Lyon upset Juve, so that it happens. You can knock out a Ronaldo, you can knock out a Messi.
Yeah, anything's possible. Like my dad always said to me, la palla è tonda. Soccer goes any way.
Yeah, the ball is round.
The ball is round. Soccer can go any way, man. It really doesn't matter. If you come out with that right mindset, if you're hungry for it, you're going to win. Lyon today came out hungry. They came out hungry. The first 20 minutes, they were on Juve. They came out hungry. They wanted that win.
They did. But honestly, dude, did you watch the game, right?
It wasn't penalties. Is that what you're getting at?
That ref was terrible.
He was trigger happy, by the way.
Supposedly, I was talking to a buddy, and he said that ref actually was convicted for taking bribes in 2005 as a referee.
Oh, really?
He's a German ref. I don't even know how he ended up reffing in the Champions
League. Yeah, I'm surprised he still has a job.
I have no idea. If you've been convicted of taking bribes and fixing matches, then why? You should be banned from being a referee.
Yeah,
right?
Banned for life.
I think our ref tomorrow
is Turkish.
Turkish, so we, We'll see.
I don't know the history with us and Turkish refs, to be quite honest with you.
I don't know either. I know the history of us with Turkish teams, and it's not really good.
That's another thing.
But yeah, that's a whole different ball game. But you know, we'll see. You know, I would have preferred to have a more experienced ref, but or a bigger game ref, but we'll see.
Listen, like the ref, you can't really take the ref into consideration, because at the end of the day, what the ref says goes. All you can really focus on is the opponent in front of you and the task at hand.
Right? You just don't want it to be a factor.
You don't want it to be a factor. I agree.
Today, Juve, Lyon, the ref was a factor in that game. You don't want to have to, you know, be like, man, the ref screwed us over. Like, you know, I just want to have a game. Like, or, you know, if the ref is not calling this, like, he's like, just not calling it. Like, it's not like it's like one side and not the other side. But today, I don't know, like those penalties, like two non-existent penalties, but the one that Lyon got obviously was an away goal, so it's worth so much.
It does change the dynamic of the match a lot. I gotta, like, I kind of feel for the Juve fans. I do, to be quite honest.
I don't
in a way, but
I feel bad for my friends that I know, I feel bad because they feel bad. I don't feel bad for Juve, but I feel bad that my friends feel bad. But
yeah, like, because the way they went out, that's a pretty shitty way to get out, man.
It is, but you know what? I don't want to say, like, you know, karma, like, but like it's a little bit of karma. But I do feel bad, like, you know, it sucks. Like,
I plead the fifth. I got no karma.
Especially for Ronaldo. Like, Ronaldo, like, tries his ass off. Like, he's like such a good player. Like,
yeah,
you could tell that he's like really upset. Like,
that team has let him down for sure.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, it's, you know, this year has not been good for them. You think Sadi's gonna stay, or Sadi's
I not? Just read right now that Agnelli's saying he's staying.
I mean, it's hard, it's tough. Like, if you look at all the teams that never have success, it's the teams that flippity flop their, like, you know, their coach every season. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, you gotta maybe ride it out a little bit and see, give it some time. You know, you can't be, if you're firing your coach every year, you're never gonna win. Like, it's,
yeah, I agree. You have to let them, you have to have that grace period for them to settle in and really,
of course, well, it's not that ideology. It's not really, yeah, exactly. It's not really his team yet, but mm-hmm. Anyways. Let's not talk about them so much. You know, Napoli, but obviously, Sarri has a tie to Napoli in a certain way. So, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, we'll just move on from that. What else did I want to talk to you about? Oh, I want to talk to you about, how do you feel about Immobile tying the record? We never really talked about this before.
I'm happy for him. I'm happy he's even got the golden boot. Where's he from? Torre Annunziata,
yeah. Right beside you. So
he's a local boy. Yeah. He's, you know, from the Naples area. So it's like him tying that record is like, yeah, the record stayed in Napoli anyway. So
exactly. Yeah. I thought the same way.
Yeah, we did. We don't want
he who shall not be named.
Yeah, we don't want
him. I agree with you. I didn't mind it one bit. The only thing that, like, kind of bothered me was how many penalties he got, but even then, right? It's just,
yeah,
a goal is a goal. It's gonna happen anyways.
I mean, technically, Higuain scored 36 goals. They only had three. I think he only had three penalties.
Four.
Okay, so like 32 actual goals. So that year he was incredible. But anyway, I thought it was pretty cool how, like, they both got the record or tied the record or beat the record on the San Paolo. So that's, you know, that's on the
last match day too.
On the last match day, yeah.
Yeah, parallels all around.
Well, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that it also shows that it shows potential for an increase in talent in the league. That this goal record is not solid in years for, what was it, 65?
It stood for a while. Yeah, it stood for
a while, right? And now it seems like anyone can come in with a good year and just take over, right? it shows an increase in talent in the league that I thoroughly enjoy and I think is beneficial to the league. And it probably is enticing for new players to come into the Serie A and start thinking about joining this league.
Well, look, we're starting to attract more bigger names. Obviously, Ronaldo coming, Ibra's back, Silva's signing, looks like, with Lazio. So the league is getting, you know,
competitive.
More competitive. Yeah, there's a lot of teams that are competitive. Milan's more competitive now. Lazio's more competitive. Atalanta is, like, not human.
Yeah. Something's going on in Bergamo. I won't comment on that, though.
Black magic,
some Mike secret stuff.
Gasperini's secret stuff.
Ah, man, they're like you said, they're not human. But yeah. Going like I had this conversation with I think someone on Twitter. I can't remember who it was on Twitter a couple of weeks ago, saying that I'd much rather have this league be more competitive and teams splashing more on bigger signings so that way it levels out the playing field rather than having the same mindset. Because I can't remember who said it, man. Like, the name's not coming to me. But he said, I think it was someone from Milan Twitter, where they said, would you rather have Juventus win a 10th Scudetto in a row or Inter surpassing our total amount? And to me, like, I'm not a Milan fan, but to me, I'd much rather have Inter win for the same reason that the league becomes more competitive and more level. Because right now you're going into the league thinking, well, Juve is most likely going to win again.
But there's going to be one team that's going to, you know, be like the anti-Juve. Like, everybody's the anti-Juve. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Who's going to be the anti-Juve this year? Like, you know. But yeah, if you have like an actual title race with four or five teams, then, you know, it's not just that like the team at the top has to worry about playing maybe two or three strong teams in a season. Like, you know, you have to play hard games all year. So then it's, you know, you test your bench. It, you know, it's more of a, I think it gives more of a chance for someone else to win the Scudetto, definitely.
That's exactly my point, right? Because right now, most people are going into, like, I go into every year, this is coming from me, though, I go into every year thinking, you know what, something could change, but it's most likely that Juve is going to win again.
Yeah.
Right? It's a defeatist mentality, really, at the end of the day.
But that's the team mentality, too. Like, teams are going in, like, okay, you know, like, our goal is the Champions League, or our goal is the Europa League. But what team really goes in is, like, you know, we're going to go win the Scudetto, like,
But I'm pretty sure, like, Inter, Napoli, they all go into the year with that mindset. I'm not putting it past them. But yeah, somewhere in the back of your mind that goes, well, it's possible that they're going to win again. So, really, what could we do? It's maybe an irrational thought that I'm having.
Not really. But they have the most money. They're the most, they spend the most. They have the, you know, the best, like, team on paper. They have the best depth.
Yeah.
They have the best resources, you know. So it's not like a delusional thought to think that teams are, you know, thinking, man, like, how are we gonna beat you there? So
exactly.
But I mean, they've looked like they haven't been so strong lately, and I think that a rebuild is coming. So if I'm a Napoli or an Inter or a Milan or a Lazio, I'm, you know, this next season you're licking your chops because you're like, wow, Juventus is going through some big problems. So they're gonna have to rebuild, and obviously your team won't gel right overnight. Mm-hmm. So there's opportunity there.
Exactly.
But for Inter, if Conte leaves, I don't know what they're gonna do. I mean, Allegri would probably come in and is a good coach. So next season is gonna be really interesting. I think it's gonna be more interesting than this past season. I think it's gonna be a lot more closer, and there's gonna be a lot more teams, like, really in the hunt.
I agree, especially. For long. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's gonna be like a long Scudetto race. Like, it's not like, you know, by halfway, the middle round, it's done, or there's only two teams I think there's going to be like 3-4 teams like up until the end.
Exactly.
For the Scudetto.
Yeah, and I was going to say, like, especially for us, we already started taking steps in the right direction. First of all, with the Osimhen signing, which I was at the cottage this past weekend with a couple of buddies of mine. I woke up that morning, I saw Osimhen signing, and I screamed. I was screaming. I was so hyped up that we could actually secure a young striker, a young promising striker like that. And so for me, it's already a step in the right direction, filling in the gaps that that we need the most. Right now we're looking. I think I just read Veretout and Boga, which first of all would be a great backup in the midfield as well as on the wing, replacing.
I was seeing Unders coming.
Who?
I saw Under.
Under. I haven't seen that one yet.
From Roma, what's the guy's Under?
Under, yeah, Chinges Under.
Supposedly he's they're signing him. That's what.
That's not what I bad. That's not bad. But we definitely need someone to fill in
for Calleon. That
Calleon role, which, like, I'm gonna be honest with you right now, that final game kind of choked me up, man.
Oh yeah, that was sad.
That
yeah.
final game choked me up a little bit because he was wearing the captain's armband too, and
yeah, but, you know, you can tell he cares about the team a lot. Like he's. Like he's a heart and soul player.
Yeah, like I said, a lot of people know if you're from the club or if you don't and you follow me on Twitter, then you know that I give Calleon flack every single week as of recent due to his form. But like I took some time to reflect on it. I went back. You know, he's a 2-time Coppa Italia winner. He won the Supercoppa one time, 82 goals, 78 assists. Like he's had a really good successful career with us, and he does a lot of the dirty work that we don't really notice. Like the best way I compared him to was Kyle Lowry. If you guys watch basketball, you know Kyle Lowry. He's the Kyle Lowry of the team. He does the dirty work.
Where's number 7?
Oh yeah, that's right. Where's number 7? Crazy. But like I said, he does the dirty work. The stats don't reflect his actual play. Maybe I got too greedy towards the end, expecting so much out of him. Or maybe I was thinking of like 2016 Calleon when he was absolutely lighting it up.
But the first 5 seasons of Calleon was amazing. The last two, these last 2 years, he declined quite a bit. Like,
yeah.
I felt bad like after I saw that. Like, obviously, like, you know, you feel sad. But then I looked on Twitter and I saw Barcelona post that Calleon's chance against Ter Stegen, where he shot it right at him, we could have been 2-1 up, and yeah. I'm like, you know what? I don't feel bad anymore. Thank God that like this is gonna be his last game. So, like, it just like
it's really a bittersweet moment.
It is literally bittersweet, like the definition of bittersweet.
Now, like having said that, going back to the Barca game and talking about Calleon, like one of the changes that I would have made going into this match is playing Lozano on the right. Instead of Calleon.
Lozano over Politano?
Yeah.
Really?
I feel like Lozano can cause a lot of problems in that final third for Barcelona. Especially with, like what I said at the beginning of the podcast, pressing really high in their half when they're playing possession. I feel like Lozano can be a real factor in that.
He was pressing really, I forget, was it last game? I was watching him press and he was giving the goalie and the center backs a lot of problems when he was pressing.
Yeah, exactly.
Fast, like, honestly, I feel like next season Lozano is going to do very, very well.
Yeah, I think so as well.
I wanted to go back to what you were saying about like you said something about like the club like growing in terms of signing like Osimhen, signing a promising young striker. I think the club has grown a lot, like in terms of like, you know, even last summer being able to attract like. So like a Llorente on a free transfer, I thought that was something that you rarely ever see on Napoli.
Mm-hmm.
Then you know something like Mertens like re-signing instead of leaving. Like in the past, like players have left, right? Mm-hmm. Like for bigger teams and stuff like that. Like the fact that Napoli said, you know what, we're not going to sell you, we're going to keep you here. You're going to like pretty much end your career with Napoli. Like the team, the club is like kind of growing from like a. You know, we're just trying to make money and just sell players to like, no, we're actually like, we actually care about our players and we want to like, you know, build a culture here, like build a history, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
have our legends like involved with the club still, basically. So, and then, you know, I think a big thing is going to be Koulibaly. Like, honestly, if you hear somebody say that they want to put, like, you know, they want to sign a contract to be with your club, like for the, like to retire with your club, like, and they're that caliber of a player, I think you should just sign them to that contract. And I wouldn't even sell Koulibaly, to be honest. Like, what's the point?
I wouldn't either. We already have the funds. There's no need to sell them.
He doesn't want to leave. If Koulibaly said, you know what, I want to go to England, I want to try something, like just like Hamzik wanted to go to China,
mm-hmm.
I want to go to China, whatever, I'm not playing that much. Okay, then you do what the player wants. Like, you know, like you have respect for your players. Like, if a player wants to leave, I think if a player wants to leave, you sell them.
I agree. But
if a player is saying, I love it here, like, I would, you know, retire here, like, then you sign them to the contract. Keep them.
I agree.
You want players that want to play for your team,
yeah,
basically. Especially good players. Like, and, you know, Napoli has Rahmani.
Yeah.
He looks like a really good defender, so you don't have to buy another defender. You don't need that Gabriel from Lille. You know, I think if we get that guy in, we have four really good center backs.
I agree. So. And Romani this year was one of the leading defenders, and I think balls recovered. Was the leading defender in balls recovered.
No, he wasn't the leading defender. He was the leading player, like, period. Like,
yeah. So,
yeah.
I always forget about these other signings that we've made, like Romani, Titania. Like, these are just so good. They're so good to have depth.
Man, we're doing some good business. Like, it's gonna, like, honestly, I feel like it's gonna pay off. Like, next season, you're gonna see like a really competitive team. Especially, you know, I think we would have been competitive this year if it wasn't for the whole mutiny and.
Mm-hmm.
Ancelotti 4-4-2.
That really screwed us over. But you know what? We're getting too far ahead of ourselves. That's something to worry about next season. All we got to do is worry about tomorrow, which, by the way, everyone who's listening right now, they can tune in tomorrow to our YouTube channel for our YouTube Live. It's going to be Sereno and I with a special guest tomorrow that's going to be watching the game. Any final remarks, Serrano, before I close this off?
Tomorrow, just relax, have a drink, and try not to, you know, have a heart attack. Just, you know, watch the game, enjoy your afternoon, I think tomorrow we're gonna get it done. I'll try to be positive. So
I just try
to, like, you know, tell everybody to just be calm and Forza Napoli. That's it.
I couldn't agree more. I think Serrano just took the words right out of my mouth. So tune in tomorrow, and Forza Napoli sempre. Ciao, guys.